It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full-auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. I'm standing here on the floor of SHOT Show 2011 live, and I happen to be in the booth with Jake Arnsdorf, who's part of Ambush Firearms. I'm rolling by Ambush Firearms. I see a bunch of really bitchin' AR-15s, a bunch of cool accessories, and they got a sweet slogan, which I'll actually let Jake talk with you about. We're standing right here with one of Ambush's AR-15s. It's got this real tree camo-looking setup on there, some really nice accessory rails. Jake, welcome to 2A Radio. Tell us a little bit about Ambush Firearms.
Ambush Firearms is a sister company of Daniel Defense. We decided a couple of years ago that we wanted to enter the hunting market with a rifle, and our owner, Marty Daniel, decided that he wanted to dedicate a complete separate business to that. Daniel Defense does all of our machining, and Ambush Firearms is the hunting arm of Daniel Defense. All of our parts are machined in-house in Black Creek, Georgia, and all of our rifles and accessories come with an unconditional lifetime guarantee, and this is our first rifle here in the Ambush series. It's the Ambush 6.8. It's chambered in 6.8 SPC, and we're really excited about it. We've had a ton of interest in it at the show.
I got to tell you, the 6.8 SPC is essentially a 270 short. Right. Like, for the listeners that are out there, a 7.62 by 39 is basically a 308 short. And that was put together by Special Forces. A lot more knockdown power. This is actually an AR-15. How many rounds sit in the magazine for this?
We have two different magazine options. Every rifle ships with a 5-round PRI mag, and then we also have a 28-round Barrett mag as an option for varmint hunting and that sort of thing.
Gosh, because out there hunting, you have a 5-round limit. But 6.8 is actually big enough to take antelope and even some smaller deer, correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
It also looks like you might have some sort of threading on the... What's the end of the muzzle? It's unique. There's not a flash hider there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we've got a thread protector here. Some folks in the hunting industry aren't that big a fan of flash hider or whatnot. This gives you the option if you would rather do a flash hider or muzzle brake, whatever. Some of the, like, we offer the same gun in black, a lot of the tactical guys like that. If they wanted to shoot that suppressed, or if you wanted to add a muzzle brake for increased recoil reduction, then that's an option also. So
that's threaded half by 28 standard threading?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I actually would probably throw one of my suppressors on there.
Right.
Just, you know, we don't want to disturb the other hunters.
Right, absolutely.
And I got to tell you, the camouflage on here is wonderful. You guys machine the entire upper and lower?
Yes, sir, we do. The only parts we don't do on this gun are the plastic. Every one of them comes with a Magpul MOE buttstock. The molded foregrip, that's something we don't do in-house. It's poly-injected. And then the pistol grip. Other than that, everything's done in-house at Daniel Defense. We have our own hammer-forged barrel cells. We do our own barrels in-house, our own rail systems, machine the uppers and lowers in-house, lower parts kits, the whole nine yards done in-house at Daniel Defense, which gives us a lot of control over our quality assurance. And that's why we're able to offer a complete lifetime guarantee, because we handle all the product in-house. So
yeah, it's a beautiful gun. I'm looking at this thing. It's what length of barrel does this thing have? 16 and a half?
16, and we also have an 18 inch as an option as well.
And coming from the back of the upper receiver all the way down the top of the barrel, of course there's a split for when you have the takedown pins to take the thing apart to clean it, but this has a rail going all the way down to the end of the fore end. And then you have shorter rails. What are those, about 3.5 inches long or so, going on the other three points each side and the bottom?
Yes, sir. We offer the continuous upper rail platform throughout the duration of the rail. These are modular sections here. It ships with three Picatinny sections, but Each one of these slots here, you can add as many of these sections as you like. We also sell these additionals in packs of three. And this foregrip that's on the rifle is also modular, so it's truly adaptable for any hunter. I mean, whether it's a child or, you know, if you're a tall guy, short guy, whatever, this rifle will fit your needs.
Now, I got to tell you guys, just because you're listening out there and not watching, the foregrip on this rifle, it's not a vertical forend, it's a horizontal forend, but it fits the palm of the hand. It's really nice. And then the accessory rails will fit on the forend, the that goes around the gas tube and the barrel. The forend of the gun has different notches. They're ovular notches that you can put these different accessory rails on there. So for those of you who are goofy enough to want to put 17 different things on the AR, which, how much does this thing weigh?
It's just under 7 pounds, 6.9 pounds.
So. Okay, and that's with no optics on it. So those of you who want to throw optics, a couple of lights, a few lasers, a GPS tracker, and a cup holder on it, you can easily get this thing up to a good 16 pounds in no time at all. And they're allowing you to do that with the design. It's pretty cool.
And part of the reason for this modular foregrip, a lot of the AR guys would just as soon have just this free-floated tube, so this can come off completely. But it also, this was molded after, designed after a shotgun foregrip, so this, for the more traditional hunters that like that feel, it's just a really nice option. You can run with it or without it, so it feels great in your hands either way.
And all of your guns are on an AR platform, correct?
Yes, sir. One thing I forgot to mention, we have an upgraded trigger. These come with Geissele, the SSA trigger from Geissele, so it's a really nice trigger in there as well.
I also noticed that on your trigger guard, most trigger guards on ARs are straight across the bottom. Yours is not. Yours is, it looks like it's big enough for a gloved finger.
Yes, sir. That's an enhanced trigger guard, and this is also a Magpul product. That's the Magpul Mo trigger guard. So it's plenty of room to get in there on cold days with a glove. I mean, it's a real nice fit.
Yeah, for those of you who are love to drink from the Magpul trough, they got great stuff, great magazines, great accessories. They got some really good videos out, so that's a good deal. Now, on the business side of this gun, when it comes to the triggers, what weight triggers do you ship these guns with, and are they adjustable, or how does that work out?
These all come with the Geissele SSA trigger, which is a two-stage trigger. I believe the first stage on that is 2.5 pounds, and the breaking stage is 5.
Which is odd because most ARs are just a single-stage trigger.
Right.
So you got a good hunting setup in there.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Good. Now, what other calibers do you guys offer your guns in?
In addition to the 6.8, we're also offering in a 5.56, and next on the list is the 308 platform. We hope to have the 308 ready for release by the end of the year.
Nice. Okay, good. That's perfect. Now, do you offer any sighting systems that come with these? Because I notice this is totally open. You can drop your own sights on there, flip up, or a red dot, or a typical hunting scope, traditional, or a scout scope. You know, what do you got?
We are working on getting those programs in place. Right now, we are not offering the optics through. We're in the process of getting that set up. But as you can see, the other ones we have at the show are decked out with, we've got some with aim point, some with Lua poles, and some with Trigicon. So we're going to offer a variety of options for the sighting systems. We were just in a rush to get everything together for a SHOT Show, and we didn't have time to get that pricing schedule.
I'm with you. We don't expect you to make great guns and optics to go with. But real quick, give us Ambush Firearms slogan.
Don't just hunt, ambush.
Guys, it doesn't get any better than that. I appreciate it. Jake, big handshake to you. Thanks very much, man.
Yes,
we're
going to
take
Thank
it from here. I appreciate it. Have a great time at the show.
All right. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right, guys. We will be back in the next segment with more interviews on the SHOT Show live right here at SHOT Show 2011 from the Sands Expo Center in downtown Las Vegas. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2K Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
All right, guys, welcome back from the break. I have made it a hop, skip, and a jump from Ambush Firearms over to Original SWAT, and I have Terry Magnus, president of Original SWAT, here on 2A. Terry, how's it going so far at the 2011 SHOT Show?
Extremely busy, thankfully. Yeah, we're doing good business and seeing a lot of customers and having a lot of interest from all parts of the world, really, which is, that's one of the things about this show that is so interesting, is it does seem to attract literally a worldwide audience.
Now, Terry, you sound like you've been talking to a lot of customers so far. You sound a little bit hoarse.
Yeah. I'm also getting on in years, you know. That doesn't help either. No, it was, we have to make the most of things like this. So we start before the show starts, and we have our whole sales force come in. We can't do them in one go, so we do them in two goes. And standing and talking for the better part of an hour and a half in back-to-back sessions with no amplification help means that you get out of your comfort zone. You're projecting to the back of a room, and you're not trained to do that.
You know? You need to get Celine Dion to give you a hand.
Yeah, right.
Now, I actually wanted to come in here and do an interview with you guys. You have the most comfortable footwear I have ever used. At the 2006, I think, original SWAT Challenge, out when I was working at Frontsight out in Southern Nevada, I actually helped work it. There was a booth there. I picked up the very boots I'm wearing today. They're a little ragged, as you quite so quaintly told me earlier, kind of a patina on them. And these are the most comfortable, this is the most comfortable footwear I own. And I own a lot of shoes and boots, and I've been on my feet a lot. These things have been hunting on Molokai. They've been in the field in Florida, and they've been out on job sites welding in the middle of the desert in Southern California. So this stuff is comfortable. Tell us about, I just found out you actually have a reinforced toe. These are SWAT-style, outdoor, hunting, urban, all different types of boots. Tell us a little bit about your product line.
We started off as a law enforcement-based company. So our main objective was to outfit tactical SWAT teams, hence the name of the product. And that was a kind of combination of things. SWAT is the pinnacle of law enforcement. They're the guys under the most pressure, they're doing the most dangerous parts of the job, and they have a need to trust their footwear, more so than perhaps just the average cop on the beat. The cop on the beat wants comfort. That I can fix really easily. The other bits are a little bit more technical to achieve, and that was really why we wanted the SWAT teams to wear our boot. It's basically the rest of the police, law enforcement world looks up to the SWAT team. So you can kind of, if you translated this into Nike, they're our Michael Jordan. Right?
Right, so, absolutely.
Yeah, so we use the SWAT teams like that, and we've worked very, very closely with a lot of SWAT teams. The funny thing is that after 12 years, which is how long the company's been going, we've actually gone into a thing called SWAT ID, which is where we eventually figured that we'd made the best boot, tactical boot for SWAT teams that we could make. But it wasn't good enough for everybody. And that's because you have geography, you have conditions that change, environment in which people operate changes from urban to mountains to wet to cold to hot. I mean, all kinds of issues they have. So the idea was that we will make a boot for one guy, for one SWAT team. And so SWAT ID is our website-based business where they go to the website, they look up, they get into our website, and they can build their own boot. They can change the bottom, they can change the midsole, they can change the upper, they can put a zip, they can put penetration protection if they wish.
Wait a minute. You're offering custom-made, custom-designed, individualized, personalized boots.
Yep.
That's awesome, man. Has anybody ever done this before?
No, not as far as we know. I mean, you've got the fashion brands like Nike, Puma, people like that, but there is all coloration. You can go onto their ID websites, and all you get to do is to change the colors.
Now, the outside. You're talking, you guys can change the inside.
About If you want waterproof, you can have waterproof. You don't have to have waterproof. If you want antimicrobial lining, you can have antimicrobial lining. So yeah, we will build one boot. Generally speaking, you get teams, so you're normally building about 15. Further than that, we actually we put on the tongue label, we will put the SWAT team, we will put their logo, and we will also go as far, and I've got one in front of you. I know this is radio, but I'll show it to you. There's a boot, there's the SWAT team, right? And
yeah, it's a U.S. Pentagon SWAT boot.
Yep, there you go.
And it's actually a pretty attractive logo it's got on there.
And how about that?
Oh, and that's got like the badge number, personnel number?
Yep.
So nobody's going to jack your boot even if they have the same size foot.
Yeah.
That's incredible, man. I have to tell you this. I have been so happy with the comfort of the boots, but now to hear about the innovation that really goes into this, you guys are really dialed in. This is nice.
Yeah. I mean, we obviously hope to learn something because we would collect, by doing this, we would collect a lot of information which can be synthesized. So we can actually work out what would be our next boot, perhaps, and what features our next boot would have by the amount of times those features have appeared on the custom site. So it's a kind of marketing tool as well. But, you know, I mean, look, if we want to be the best, the only way to be the best is to provide the perfect product. Now, generally speaking, I mean, you can't do that in footwear because custom making footwear has gone, you know, the way of the dodo, generally speaking. I mean, you had...
Here in America, you could say the way of the custom street corner butcher. We're not dodo fans.
You know...
That's okay. We understand.
Right. So, yeah. So...
You'll sell to anybody that goes online and orders boots, correct? You just don't have to be a SWAT team member. I mean, I'm not a SWAT team, and I got your boots.
Yeah, but you came across them in the course of being in that community. The answer to that is yes. But the reality is that getting to know about it is going to be... it is a small community, and we're doing no publicity. It's word of mouth. Word of mouth is what's getting this site used.
Give us word of website. How can somebody check out your product?
Well, that's easy enough. I mean, that's originalswat.com, but www.originalswat. The ID website, and I haven't got my glasses on, but that is swatid.com.
So and that's for getting the ID on the lip,
yeah, so
the tongue of
it. ID.com.
Guys, check that out. I have to tell you from personal experience, when I have gear that works, I tell you about it. These are the most comfortable boots I've got. They are a little ugly looking on the outside. Most comfortable footwear. I'm doing several miles around the trade show here today, and these are the boots that I'm wearing to keep myself upright and feeling good. Terry, thanks very much.
Hey, Bill, it was a pleasure.
All right. We'll be back, guys, after this next break. We're going to be hunting down some more good interviews here on the floor of the trade show of the SHOT Show 2011 live at the Sands Convention Center of Las Vegas. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the break. Segment 3 here from the floor of SHOT Show 2011, Sands Convention Center in Las Vegas. I am standing here live with one of my Top Shot compadres, Denny Chapman. Denny, good to see you. You guys remember Denny is the cowboy on the show.
Hey, Bill, I tell you what, it sure is good to see you, and it brings back some great memories from the show.
Yeah, you're wearing kind of an oyster-colored off-white shirt, and I'm not used to seeing you in anything but red.
I know, it's kind of weird, isn't it? When I came home from the show, I had a hard time wearing anything but red for a while.
Now, you're hanging out here at Taylor & Company?
Taylor's & Company Firearms. They're out of Winchester, Virginia, and they are my mounted shooting firearms sponsor.
Oh, nice. What gear do you use in your mounted shooting that they offer?
They were kind enough, actually, to allow me to co-design a gun with one of my partners, Deke Rivers, and we designed a revolver called the Runnin' Iron. And because we're shooting black powder blanks at balloons on the run, and mind you, we're traveling about 30 miles an hour on the back of a horse taking snapshots at these targets, and our targets are balloons. Shooting about 8 or 10 feet away. So the ideal gun, the gun that we designed and we think is ideal, it's taken off by wildfire, the Runnin' Iron, is a 3.5-inch stainless single-action revolver. The rules require it to be single-action, like the old-style cowboy guns. And we've modified it a little bit for our sport. So we've turned the hammer down. We have a turned-down wide hammer spur. We have a wide trigger and an awesome action job. It's smooth as butter.
Sounds nice, man. Are you packing it underneath your gear here today?
Well, we have a couple on display here, and I've been handling them, showing them off all day long. We're pretty proud of it.
That's cool. I was thinking about bringing some of my guns to the show just to get other people's fingerprints on them so I can handle them with gloves later. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
So tell me, what have you been up to since Top Shot?
Top Shot really has kind of been life-changing for me. I had done a little bit of media work before the show and a couple of TV commercials for some of my sponsors, but I've actually been approached by a couple of large networks. I really wish I could mention some more details, but you are as familiar as I am about confidentiality contracts.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't mention them until after these things air, but it's been life-changing. I do have to tell you, my better half likes me to take my cowboy hat off before I go to the grocery store, so it won't take me 4 hours to buy a loaf of bread, because you'd be amazed at how many people recognize you as you're walking through the bank or the grocery store.
I have to. I live in a small town of 35,000 or so, and every time I go specifically to the grocery store, somebody sees me and starts talking to me. My woman feels exactly the same way.
Let me ask you, does it ever get tiresome to you?
You know, I don't know if it's tiresome. It's kind of neat to be able to have dialogue. I got stopped pumping gas about 2 weeks ago, and it's not really tiresome. It's just sometimes it's bad timing.
I totally understand. We went to an antique store one time, and you know the way you see me dress is the way I dress every day. I wear boots and Wrangler jeans and one of my trophy
and a black tie.
Well, that was special occasions, and my hat. And that's just who I am, you know, and that's just what I wear every day. And it did kind of make me recognizable on the show, and I was, I guess, the only one that got to break the rules and wear a hat all the time, or most of the time, out there. So, I don't know, you know, it is what it is.
You know, I've never been a fan of breaking rules. If the rules didn't suit me, I mean, you know me at least good enough, I just try to change the rules.
That's right. That's one thing I appreciate about you, Bill. And I got to tell you, I had a great time with you out there. We were roommates on the show. Did I ever tell you about the time that you and Pete and Andre woke me up in the middle of the night snoring?
We were snoring in unison?
Snoring in unison.
Yeah,
I thought you guys were pulling my leg. I sat up in bed and said, are you kidding me, guys?
That's how tuned in we were as a group, man.
I know. I guess we were just tight-knit group.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to get together tonight with several of the other folks that are out here from Season 1, and I think we're supposed to hook up with some of the Season 2 cast. I guess that announcement came out a week ago. You can go online to history.com/Top Shot, I believe, and look at the Season 2 guys, and some of those folks are out here. I think we're supposed to get together with them tonight and tomorrow night.
I'm looking forward to it. I actually met Kyle and Jay just a little while ago, and I met one of the Top Shot 2 applicants that didn't make it, but that's out here kind of hanging out as well, and I think it's going to be a real interesting evening.
Yeah, you know, what I'm looking forward to is seeing the difference between Season 2 and Season 1, because I'd imagine it's going to be like Survivor or any other competition-based reality show where Season 1 goes one way and all the other seasons go a different way. And it's all the other ones are like they're similar, because in Season 1, nobody knows what's going on. Season 2 and beyond, people got to watch it. Now they get to game it and play. They have information we didn't have. We're ignorant to how things were going to go.
Yeah.
So, which is why Season 1 is always a little different than everything else.
Yeah, I mean, we were the test dummies out there, and we didn't know what to expect. I had no idea what to expect.
No, me neither.
I mean, you know, I knew they told us it was going to be reality style, but I didn't know they were going to. I mean, they literally taped and videoed every conversation we had, regardless of what we were talking about.
Yeah, and you know me, I don't watch my tongue, so some of that got aired.
Well, that's another thing I like about you, man. You say what you think, and yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, sometimes there needs to be a clutch between the brain and the mouth.
I don't know. You know, I was conscious of those cameras being on me. I'm thinking, my grandmother's going to be watching. My folks are watching. I'm going to try so hard. And I really don't want to embarrass anybody. And really, I'm out there representing a whole culture. I'm representing the cowboy culture. So I don't want to come off like a dummy, you know, redneck cowboy wannabe guy and acting all, you know, tougher than I am and all that. So I went in there and just said, I'm really going to try not to do any acting. I'm just going to be who I am, and let's see how long this fun lasts.
You know, for the most part, most people that were on the show were like that. A couple of them kind of tuned it up when the cameras were on. You know, a couple of the guys that
yep.
I'm talking about.
Yep. And, I mean, Adam even admitted. He said, yeah, you know, I hammed it up a little bit with the whole Rat Peak thing. And, what'd he say? It's Hollywood, you know. It was kind of expected. But, you know, we all ended up keeping in touch, which I think was awesome. We had the little email thing going on.
Yeah, so you listeners know, we actually have an email group that where all 16 of us still, well, 15 of us. Andre, it's hard to get a hold of because he's in the Army and that's the only email address we got.
Yeah, and I miss keeping in touch with Andre. Andre made me laugh till I cried, I think, every night they were telling me boot camp stories, so yeah. I really appreciated having Andre around.
Andre, I think, was my favorite guy on the show just for a few different reasons, and standing up like he was Mike Lowry.
Oh, we had so much fun. And the skits, you know, there was so much they taped that didn't show, like the little music video that we did one evening with the Walking in the Rain song and just neat stuff.
Boredom really makes you do stupid things.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
I don't know how many hands a solitaire Pete and I played next
I
to each other. Oh,
I know, and I got the super glue out and made the card houses, and the guys were like,
Every morning. Yeah, Denny was always the first, or you were the early bird getting the word.
Well, that was the only way I could get any privacy. I kind of figured out when the crews changed and the night crew were gathering up their equipment and nobody was out with a camera over my shoulder, I could actually go outside and drink a cup of coffee and watch the sunrise. It was pretty nice.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful area up in the hills of California between, just a little bit west of Palmdale, California.
Yeah, so right, I guess Santa Clarita area there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But it was good times. You know, I'm looking forward to meeting some of the Season 2 contestants, because if you go online and you see them, everybody's all, like, up and, like, you know, they're spitting out a little bit of fire.
Oh, yeah.
And, dear me, I'm going to kick everybody's backsides. So, anyhow, it'll be interesting to see how things worked out, because
we were
a certain way when we walked in, and then when we all left, we're all friends.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see how that went, if these guys are going to be cutthroat or not.
It's going to be interesting, and I'm going to be a very interested spectator for Top Shot 2.
Yeah, so am I. I think Season 2 is going to be a lot of fun. It'll certainly be interesting perspective for guys like you and I and the other Season 1 contestants to sit and watch it. As a matter of fact, Mike Sieglander from our team is out here. I'm going to try to bump in with him. I know Ian's probably not more than a couple hundred yards from where
we're
at.
Saw him just a minute ago.
Did you? Okay, so try to run into him, and who knows, maybe I'll bring this little recording device. We'll do some stuff tonight when we all get together.
Sounds good. Look forward to hanging out with you tonight, Bill.
All right, man. Thanks, Danny. And again, it's Taylor and Company out of Winchester, Virginia. Do they have a website?
They do, taylorsfirearms.com, and anyone who wants to chat about Top Shot with me, they can contact me through dennychapman.com.
Okay, great. All right, guys, stay tuned through the break. We're coming up on it in just another minute. We got a couple more interviews coming at you, and we're going to hit that as soon as we come back. You're tuned in live right here with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories.
NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
Hi guys, welcome back from the break. I have made it yet another hop, skip, and a jump. We were just talking with Danny Chapman. Now we're over talking to the Top Shot champion, Ian Harrison. Ian, welcome to 2A Radio. How you doing, man?
Hi, Bill. Good to see you, man.
It's great to see you again. You got a smile on your face 10 miles away, brother.
Yeah, things have been good. You might have noticed things have been happening pretty rapidly to me in the Ian Harrison world. I now have a new job with Crimson Trace. I'm a PR guy. I've been an American Rifleman this past month, and things are just going pretty damn well at the moment.
Have you been in British Rifleman or something? Tells me they don't produce that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think there's any such thing as British Rifleman. I don't keep up too much with British shooting publications, mainly because there pretty much aren't any.
There aren't any. Now, you were a captain in the British Army, in Her Majesty's Army, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I know ever since Top Shot, it's gone to where now you're Special Forces and MI6, and now James Bond is your bitch, something like that, right?
Yeah, it's funny how rumors start, but no, I was line infantry for about 8 years, and that's pretty much the summation of my military experience. I did a lot of fun stuff. I started out as armored infantry and got to play with some pretty cool 35-ton, 25-liter V8-powered killing machines. Then went recce. I was a recon platoon commander for a while, and then did a bunch of other jobs like officers. Yeah, I was an ops officer for a while as well.
So straight from the source. So now we know. As long you can tell us, I don't want you to have to, you know, tell all the audience and then hunt them down and kill them, because that they know, right?
Yeah, definitely not Special Forces, no ninja background there, and definitely not a member of Her Majesty's Secret Service.
All right, well, that's good. Now, you're the new PR guy for Crimson Trace, and I have to tell you, my neighbor's actually a huge Crimson Trace fan. He has a Crimson Trace grip on every single gun he owns, every handgun. And we're out shooting his Ruger LCP on Sunday, and that was a pretty cool little gun. And the way that Crimson Trace adapted it, since it's not a grip, it actually sits right forward of the trigger guard. That's pretty innovative.
Yeah, that's called our new Laser Guard platform. It's actually been out a couple of years now. We now have about 15 SKUs for that platform. And the biggest thing that was driving us to develop all those new lasers for guns was the explosion in Pocket 380s, or the popularity of the Pocket 380.
As a matter of fact, the LCP is going to be my next handgun, just so I can have a pocket gun. My smallest guns are Glock Model 30. Not exactly pocket. It's a big pocket.
Exactly. So you don't want to try out any of the new Pocket 9s and go straight, miss the intermediate step and go straight for a Pocket 9?
I don't know. Who knows? I've had my eye on the LCP. I just dig it. So I think I'm going to get one of those.
Yeah. The other gun that I quite fond of right now in the Pocket 380 market is the Diamondback. If you've ever shot one of the DB380s, they're pretty sweet too. You should definitely check that out.
Now, who's making that gun?
Diamondback. They're out of Florida. I think there seems to be a lot of plastic gun manufacturers locating in Florida right now, but you should definitely take a look at it. It's very compact. It looks like it's kind of like Honey, I Shrunk the Glock.
Now, do you have a Crimson Trace for that gun?
I do, yeah. I own a Diamondback. When I saw it, I picked it up and thought, hey, you know, it's a really nice ergonomic job that they did with this. And immediately got a Crimson Trace for it.
Well, I'll check it out, because I have to tell you, for the little pocket guns, I am a fan of the lasers for the little guns, personally. I mean, for the bigger guns, for what I do, I don't have lasers on my guns.
Yep.
Not that I'm opposed to them, I just, that's not my deal.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, sometimes I'm the same way. If I'm shooting, say, shooting an IPSC competition or something like that, where I'm shooting my limited gun, then, you know, I could rely purely on iron sights on the top of that firearm. But for small pocket guns, that where you have a very short sight radius and the sights are pretty rudimentary, then they really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, they really do. You can't really get much of a sight on a lot of 38 Special, certainly LCP. It's just that little groove. And quite honestly, I mean, if we're going to be in a fight with one of those guns, that's the backup. You got a shotgun, the rifle, the handgun, then the pocket gun. It's probably not going to be a distance shot.
No, not at all. But having said that, the other week I took the new LC9 from Ruger out, and we managed to get one of the early pre-production models in order to make new some laser sights for it. I took that out to the range, and I was making headshots without it 25 yards using the laser. And
that's got to be fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Okay, it took me a while to do it, but nonetheless, it's doable.
As long as they're soaking up the cost of the ammo, they're going to take all day. Go back to 50.
That's one of the beautiful things about working in the firearms industry, which I'm really thrilled about, is that I get to play with guns a lot.
So no more custom home building?
No, I'm now out of the construction industry.
You have no markings on your hands from, you know, busting them up with a hammer or anything?
I know. Right
your hands
now,
are in good shape.
My hands are getting soft. I'm losing my calluses.
Those Noxzema I saw in there earlier, man. It's good to see. I haven't seen you since I left Top Shot in the filming. It was right around the 1st of April when I left. Of course, you won, and I think that was aired the middle of August.
Yep.
And here it is now, the middle of January. So it's been a better part of the year.
Yeah, indeed.
It's great to see you. Several of the guys are here. I just interviewed Denny. Let's see, I saw Chris. You've seen Chris. I think Kelly's here. We're getting together tonight with some of the Top Shot Season 2 guys as well.
Exactly, yeah. We've got a big reunion tomorrow at 4:30 at the Crimson Trace booth, and we're tapping a keg for that one. Tonight we're going out to a bar in Vegas, and the History Channel have very kindly picked up the tab for that. Last night...
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Chris and I went out. He came by the booth, he stopped by, and we ran into Mike Sieglander as well. So we went and hit the bar pretty hard last night. I was moving fairly slowly this morning.
Well, good for you. You know, I don't live in town. I live about 45 miles out of town, but I did secure a last-minute place to crash if it gets bad.
Dude, you're going to need it.
I'll be out, actually, my girlfriend will be out with us tomorrow night for the big event here at the booth, and then we have another event at the Gordon Biersch, I think, later tonight.
Yep. Yeah, we're supporting the Lone Survivor Foundation. So Crimson Trace is sponsoring that event in conjunction with another with a lot of really good firearms industry partners. And we're raising money for the Lone Survivor Foundation, which is Marcus Luttrell's charity. There's going to be about 300 SF operators in that room tonight.
Some of the guys you used to work with?
Hey, I think there's going to be some Brits there. I really do.
Good.
Yeah. I think that party's going to go on to the wee small hours. We're rattling a bunch of guns. We've got a really nice M4. We've got a Predator Tactical 1911 from Matt Burkett.
Now, I'm interested in that.
It's a very, very classic
gun. I qualify to get into the raffle, or am I just qualified for...
No, hey, you buy a ticket, man, and you support the foundation. You're more than welcome to
Sweet. Trounce
your hand and, you know, hates Vegas. Everybody gambles in Vegas.
Ain't that the truth? That's why I don't live in town anymore.
Wise move.
Yeah. So tell us some of the neat things that have happened in your life in the last 5 or 6 months.
Let's see. I managed to, after Top Shot, I got a fair amount of publicity because of it, and it was really good to be able to... Well, during Top Shot, the great thing about the program, I thought, was the chance to introduce shooting to a non-shooting audience. And it worked out that, I think in the final episode, we got 2.8 million viewers, 35% female demographic, which is unheard of for a shooting show. And, you know...
You look good in those BDUs, did you?
The great thing about getting influencing a female demographic is that, you know, females hold the purse string, so I get to buy more guns.
Yeah, I have to tell you, it worked out well. When I left, I did my exit interview after episode 3, and they asked me who I thought would win. And my answer was a well-rounded shooter. It's either going to be Adam, Chris, or Ian. One of those three guys is going to win this. And they never did play it. I don't know if it's on the... the season one deal, but sure enough, you and Chris were going head to head, and you took it away. So nicely done, man. But
thanks. You know, the biggest thing I took away from the whole show was really just the connections and the good friendships that all the cast members made. And unlike a bunch of reality shows, I think pretty much everybody stayed in touch with each other. Your listeners probably don't know that the majority of the cast members email each other and crack jokes and bust each other's balls via email most days during the week.
As a matter of fact, it's a good thing Pete's not here, because he'd probably soak up the bar tab.
He would, yeah. Last time I met Pete was out when I was doing some interviews with the NRA. The NRA were kind enough to take us out to dinner, so I thought, you know what, I'll just call Pete and Adam and we'll see if we can get some local guys down to the dinner. And Pete and I ended up climbing it wasn't really an indoor climbing wall, it was kind of lick and stick stone on the inside of this pub that we were in. We tried to circumnavigate the entire joint by climbing around the wall.
In true military fashion between you and Pete.
Yep.
That's
Pete
great.
Really, really good value.
Yeah, he is. All right, Ian, thanks so much. I got to tell you, I appreciate the way you're toting the banner and holding everything high and really doing great things after the show. So handshake to you. Thanks a bunch, man.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Great talking.
All right, guys, thanks very much for staying tuned in today. We'll be back tomorrow.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The two-way radio show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com.